Blog Talk Radio. Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining us today. Oh, just had a little incident with the music right there. Trying to get it off. Hello, everybody, and thanks for joining us today. Val and I have a special treat for you today. Michelle Brookhouse is joining us to discuss a technique called KMR, which means karmic matrix removal. Val, you there?
I'm here, honey. Hey. We're going to have to send an intention that our music goes mute when we want it to.
I'm sitting here going, okay, so usually, I can turn it off. What's going on? Okay, but we have some very interesting information for you today. It's going to be awesome. So without further ado, we're going to bring on our guest. Michelle, are you here with us?
I'm here.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Just fantastic now that we got the music and everything straight.
Yeah.
It's always something interesting in our little world.
Oh, yeah. Last week it was computer technical difficulties, and now it's the music. Oh, well.
Yeah,
it's all good.
Yeah. It is. Mm-hmm.
So Michelle, I this is very interesting stuff that you do, and I what for the listeners, if you had to explain this, what exactly is light body?
Exactly. So I mean, we're going to talk about today one aspect of light body procedure work kind of thing, because our light body basically is that energetic body that extends out beyond our physical body, and there are actually layers to it. And I think we touched on it the last time I was on the show with you, a little bit about light body and about how the light body works a bit. It basically just holds that perfect blueprint for our health, so and our functioning and our freedom of movement, and it just allows us to expand and extend and grow larger in our world, you know. But the karma matrix removal is one aspect of it. So light body surgery, light body surgery is a way in which we can start working with the light body. The light body can have all sorts of things going on with it. You know, there's often, if you've talked to anybody who has done any kind of light body surgery, you're going to find that, you know, you may have crystals or plates that need to be removed, or that body holds different armor or things from our past lives, and that those kinds of things can be removed. And then the KMR is just another procedure in the whole light body surgery sort of repertoire.
Okay.
So, Michelle,
did I totally confuse you?
No. I'm not. It cleared it up because I was thinking that this was all lumped into one thing, but you're saying that there's different parts to it.
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly. So today we're just going to talk about one aspect or one piece of the puzzle in terms of the kinds of things that we can do to sort of, give our bodies more space for growing and manifesting and being in the world kind of thing.
So, Michelle, is it kind of like, and I've had a KMR with Michelle, which I'll kind of share as we go along, because the experience are still unfolding. But one of the things, what is this, like, you know, what attracted you into this work? Let's just kind of start with that, because I think that, it helps when people can relate or people can see how, you know, it all kind of started for you even. What was that process?
Oh yeah, it's been a bit of a journey for me. And I think we talked a little bit about that the last time I was on, and it started with the whole homeopathy. And so I've always been drawn to energy work, and this is another aspect of it. And one of the things that I've realized with all of the work that I do is that, basically what happens is that we're looking for a way to be more free, a way to sort of move in our bodies, a way to live in our bodies with much more freedom, much more movement. And light body work is just another way to, attain that goal of moving with more freedom and more fluidity and allowing more of our essence, more of our spirit into our bodies so that we can, you know, move and flow and manifest and, you know, live the lives that we are kind of meant to be living here on Earth.
So that would also mean getting rid of emotional blocks?
Yeah. You know, a KMR specifically is, you know, I mean, I think we all, anybody, well, I'm not going to say we all, but I do think that there's a large portion of the population who have done a fair bit of emotional work, you know, have maybe done some therapy or have, you know, just done work on themselves as they find that, you know, things in their life are not working quite so much.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we're working, it's like, yeah, we're getting it. We're able to sort of put it in a trash bag and, you know, put it to the side, but we find that things still hook us.
Yeah.
And or we find that really those things can be obstacles. You know, it's like we have garbage bags of stuff that are in our house, and we're walking around them, but they're still in our house. And one of the things that a KMR specifically can do is actually just remove the trash. It's like it just gets all the trash out so that we have more space, more freedom. So those people who we've done all of the emotional work around, and we go, wow, why is this person still hooking me? Why am I still getting engaged in these kinds of things when I've done all of the conscious work that I can around it, the conscious integration kind of work around it? Well, a KMR will just actually remove that. It will just remove that trash bag so that someone trying to hook you won't be able to. It's like they'll be throwing out that hook line, you know, the fishing line with the Velcro, and instead of hitting your little Velcro strip on your body, they're going to hit mm-hmm. smooth surface, and it's just going to, like, fall off, and they're not going to be able to hook you anymore.
Yeah, and thanks for sharing that, because I think to just kind of as a preference, the trash is connected to drama. The trash is connected to beliefs, concepts,
beautiful,
stuff.
Yeah.
The stuff that doesn't work and support our communications in our relationships with one another, not necessarily the people so much as the differences between love and fear and, you know, that. Is that basically accurate?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I think we have a tendency to sort of hook into each other's fears rather than engaging with each other in love, you know. I think there'd be a difference in that, you know.
Oh, okay, that's a good way to, I've never thought of it that way, but that makes sense to put it in that term.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's kind of like what Eckhart Tolle talks about, pain bodies.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
You're removing the pain bodies that are like the illusions.
Yeah, aspects of it, yeah. And it's not that we don't have those things that, you know, it's not like it's going to remove it all. It's removing the stuff that we're ready to let go of, so that we have then more space to kind of work on more stuff. Because once you have a KMR, it's not that you don't need another one. Like I had one 2 years ago, and it was amazing the shifts that happened in some of my relationships. And, you know, it was just beautiful. A friend, particularly, I'll just talk about one particular friend where we were just having some difficulties, and I just was not wanting to be relating to her in the same way that I was, and I didn't know what to do about it. And, you know, I will say to people when I'm doing a KMR for them that it's possible that people will drop out of your life, you know. So that is a possibility. that people who used to hook you all or and they can't anymore may end up just kind of going away. So there may be some pain possibly involved in that. There may actually be some relief because of that. But this particular relationship that I had actually shifted. It was like she couldn't hook me in the way that she used to be able to hook me. And so it almost gave her the freedom to relate to me in a different way.
Different way, yeah.
It was beautiful.
Well, you know, isn't that kind of what we talk about, like our karmic relationships? Sometimes they can be really, really painful, and it's like we're not even being present with one another. Isn't
mm-hmm.
that kind of what it feels like?
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm.
Now, I can relate to the when you say that, sometimes people will just drop out of our lives and that might kind of that might be painful, because that did happen to me about a year ago before I moved away from Louisiana. And it, even though I was working to clear some of those relationships up because they weren't serving me, it did kind of sting a little bit. Because it happened, there was a lot of people that just dropped off.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was a little painful, even though I knew that, you know, something had to be done. There was I needed to clear some things for myself. And it's not that I was trying to get rid of them on purpose, but that's exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I mean, that can happen in other, in other ways. You know, we can just decide that we're going to do that. This is just an energetic way of when we're not really necessarily wanting to, get rid of relationships, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
but are wanting to shift the energy around them.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, yeah, it's not like that. It's not like every relationship that we've ever had. Maybe what will be released. And I've experienced this since I've had mine. What will be released is the karmic pattern that's
mm-hmm.
associated, that kind of gets triggered in the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It's the patterning that kind of loops around over and over again. So it doesn't matter what you're talking about. It's just that aspect or that fragment that keeps getting triggered, regardless of what the topic is. I've noticed that in some of my relationships, it's not so much as they went away, that piece went away.
Went away.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So Michelle, share with us some benefits, because I know that, some of the things that you've had, what were some of the benefits like for you? And then if you can share some of, some feedback from some people that you're working with, if you could share some of that, that would really support people.
Right. Just generally speaking, we've just talked about the space aspect. It just, again, allows you more space to maybe live your life in a way that you're wanting to live it a little bit more. You know, just creates more internal space. Now, that can manifest then in a number of different ways. So I think we've talked a little bit about the possibility of relationships actually changing and shifting. So I think that can actually happen. And I've had people come back and tell me that that's indeed what has happened. You know, I've had, someone come back and say, wow, all that negative thoughts that I was having around even spousal kinds of things, it has totally shifted and it's totally dropped away, and I'm totally able to appreciate the relationship for what it is right now. I've also had someone come back to me and go, all the stuff is being stirred up with my relationship with my significant other. It's like, okay, well, maybe it needed to be, stirred up a little bit. But, if you're, this is not for everyone. I'm going to say that right now. A KMR is not for everyone. You really do need to be ready to have some major shifts happen in your life. I have also been working with a woman who I've worked in various capacities with her, because I do a number of different things, and we've worked for a couple of years and done a lot of work. And, we were unable to lift this depression that she was having. And after the KMR, within days, her depression lifted. And it was just like a miracle. So it was like she'd been working and working and doing this and doing that. And it was just like something about that clearing just gave her enough space for that depression to completely lift. And, I mean, it'll be exciting to see what happens now. You know, it's only been a couple of weeks since she's had it. And so it was just such a relief for her, and it was such a relief for me because here, again, it's another tool in the tool belt that can help sort of move the energy, shift the energy, you know, allow a person more space to actually love living in their body, which has sort of been my mantra and what I'm aiming for.
So what consists of, like, what would you, what could you explain what happens in a session, like, you know, something that you would do when you're working with a person?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because some of the work that I do is, you know, is very sort of concise and precise and quick. And a KMR is very ritualistic in it. I mean, I know there's probably some negative connotations around the word ritual for some people, and then I think it's probably attractive to other people. But we actually spend an hour together, and I've done it with people who actually come in and they get on my table and we just go through the procedure. I mean, it's a procedure for a KMR. And then other people, I've actually done it on the phone with them. And again, you're certainly able to do it over the phone. Valerie, we did yours over the phone. So I don't think it necessarily takes away from the whole process, and you could maybe speak to that if you like to.
Well, yeah, one of the things, well, my lifelong journey of just getting to my truth and setting, you know, being able to be in my truth, you know, that may be different from others was I did a lot of work on releasing things in my body. And at one time, it was intense work. So, you know, I worked with coaches, and I worked with counselors, and I worked with, and what was interesting, at times it was sluggish, you know, as far as it took weeks or it took months. And, you know, I've been a lifelong believer of when something in front of me, I can't see it clearly, then I'm gonna you know, reach out for someone because I'm too attached to it. So I would say as I've been going along in my own spiritual path, even I had an awakening in 88, and even with that awakening, there wasn't a lot of people I could talk to about it. And it just kind of discombobulated a lot of things for me. I mean, in one sense, I was more present than I'd ever been. It was the difference between, you know, the greatest of grief and the happiest of, you know, bliss. And I could kind of connect to that. But all the other stuff, all the other relationships, all the conditions, all the family, the tribal, the society, it was still there. And that's what I kept bumping up against. So, you know, even when I did the other intense work, I still found my body having a lot of, it took a lot of time to release it. And you know, I always thought, well, there's got to be a better way. So I would say, okay, divine, there's got to be a better way. You know, and one of the reasons why I stepped out and doing some coaching / intuitive healing was because there's got to be a better way. I mean, people, there is a moment that when we stub our toe, is the best guess. We don't want to keep stubbing our toe.
Right.
It hurts.
Mm-hmm.
And when we have mental blocks or stuck patterns, mental or emotionally, even some of our spiritually, when we feel disconnected from our sense, our essence, it feels like we're just stubbing our toe. It gets hurtful, raw. Nobody wants to go there. And some of the older methods, while they're beneficial, it felt like nobody wanted to touch it. And so I think that throughout this process that I've been through, and then when I got this KMR, yes, it was a definite process. And there was times that I almost felt like I was kind of going to go into like a total relaxation state, almost
mm-hmm.
like hypnotic, that I was holding on to what Michelle was actually saying at that moment, because I felt like I was just going into, you know, just this total relaxation. And it was important that you're present to what she is asking you to participate in. And so she, a couple times, she noticed that I was kind of going into a different place, and so she would, you know, lovingly bring me back and have me repeat it, and then I was more present. But I afterwards, I had this, just this inspired thought or feeling of appreciation that this work is really sacred. Well, it's a, like a 3-day, 3-week, 3-month process when it starts unfolding. And so the first 3 days, I was eating things that were my comfort foods. And Michelle, I said, Michelle, I want to ask you about, man, I'm having all these cravings for ice cream, you know, because I don't keep ice cream in my house. But, boy, I'll tell you what, that's all I wanted. And she goes,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, you know, that is part of the process. There's that comforting aspect. And so I was thinking, okay, I'm not going to, like, go out and binge on ice cream for like weeks and weeks at a time. But it did support me. It really helped me. And then the other thing I realized is, wow, I feel just more present. And mm-hmm. So as the weeks went by, there were shifts. There were things coming up that connected to my inner child that wanted to be released. And it came fast.
Yeah,
so I was able to breathe it out of my body, and I recognized it. It wasn't just that it was, not only did I realize it was like I was conscious of where it was. And that was like a huge aha moment for me. Like, wow, I'm really conscious that this piece is a fragment that's been in my cellular memory, and it's not me reacting that out. So that was powerful for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it keeps coming up. So that was a really good benefit that I was thinking, wow, that's just a fragment of me that's from yesterday, and it's kind of like a memory, but cool that I'm able to be conscious of it so that I can release it easier.
You know, and I think what's also interesting to me is that, I mean, people really do recognize that you are different and are in a different place. I gave a young woman a KMR, and you don't have to be young for this to happen, but...
Mm-hmm.
And she's going through some major shifts generally in her life. But, you know, I say to people that, you know, people are going to start to call you and be concerned about you. And sure
yeah.
enough, this woman's mother, I think, called her for every day for several days going, are you okay? Are you sure you're okay? I'm concerned about you. And it's because, you know, the cords in a way have been cut. You know, it's like we're letting go. You know, there's a lot of letting go and letting go. And so those shifts are going to happen. You know, big shifts are going to happen in the first 3 weeks. The first 3 days, you may feel like you got hit by a truck. And, you know, one of the things I did forget to say to Valerie is, yeah, you know, you're going to have food that you might be wanting to eat, comfort food, and, you know, drink lots of water, get lots of rest, and realize that it's okay to eat what you need to eat.
That kind of reminds me also of something that happened. It was a couple of Thanksgiving of 2006. Because my mom and anybody else who knew me as a talker. I was always talking, and I just got to a period where I just wanted, there were things that weren't working out, and I'm like, okay, I keep going through these loops again. Why does this keep happening? So let me look at that. And I started doing some self-work. And I remember at one point, I just started getting quiet. If I didn't have anything to talk about, I wasn't trying to fill that space with words, I would just get
mm-hmm.
quiet. And I remember her asking me, I picked her up from work for Thanksgiving, and we went home and ate and everything. And she was talking in the car. And I remember she waited till the next day, and she called me. She said, is there anything wrong? And I said, no, why? She said, because you haven't been saying a whole lot. You haven't been talking. And she thought that it was because there was something that she did. And after she asked me that, I noticed that people were starting to ask me that, are you okay? Is something wrong? And it was just because, now I'm realizing because of what you said, it was just because I wanted to make a shift with the way things were going in my life. And people just, it felt funny to them. They didn't understand what was going on.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Well, I want, you know, one of the benefits that you talked about being whole, I mean, being in your, like, feeling like you're in your space again.
Mm-hmm.
I can attest to that as well. I really do feel more present, and I feel like I'm simultaneously feeling my feelings, thinking my thoughts, connected to my essence, and in my physical body.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm moving, and I'm just effectively communicating, articulating things. I'm also feeling my emotions more physically. And I can tell in my body when, like a vibration, like we talk about energy and vibrations, and I was just sharing something else that was really cool was I was kind of meditating, and I was in a really happy, just kind of this content, peaceful state, and my daughter's in the house, and she kind of went downstairs and started, like, talking to the dogs, and then, like, talking loud to the dogs, and I... Like, I took a mental walk with my consciousness, and I kind of went downstairs, and I tuned in, like, with, you know, consciously started tuning into listening. The minute I started, like, almost like I went into her energy field, my body just went, woo! And what I got was her vibration was not in the same frequency as my vibration,
mm-hmm.
and my body was telling me, you're on two different frequencies.
Mm.
The minute I just really caught that and thought, okay, because I was feeling things that I was not feeling until I tuned into where her energy field was. It was a huge reminder. And I don't think we are really aware how our thoughts can I kind of, like our consciousness is a live thing. It's a, like almost like, even though we don't see it, it's still kind of a physical entity of
mm-hmm.
ours.
Right.
And when it goes into a different energy field or a different person's vibration, it can affect us. You know, it can be two different frequencies. And I think people wonder, why did I all of a sudden get a headache? Or why did I,
mm-hmm.
you know, this or that? That was a real, I was actually at that great visual of, oop, let me take myself back upstairs. And I just kind of breathed that her frequency that I kind of absorbed, you know, just not, almost by accident, I just kind of breathed it out of my body, and it was gone.
So now,
awareness.
Are you saying to me that this is, it has given you an awareness then
yes.
of your own energy body, and then what happens when you're out in public even, or if
yes.
you're in your space with other people, and you're more aware of its other people's energies effect on your own?
Exactly. And I
so
never
it's cleared,
could put a
it's
talk.
Cleared that space for you to be able to recognize that.
Bingo.
Okay.
I just never, yeah, I've just
I like
never,
yeah.
I couldn't figure out. I mean, some days it would be a delay or I'd have an upset stomach and I wouldn't understand what, and you
yeah.
know, but as we do energy work, our energy bodies, even though we physically can't see them, are real.
And they affect
body.
Everybody. I mean, they are other people's energies affect us, but ours can affect other people too.
As well.
And yeah, and often we just don't even. I think as we do more of this kind of work, more of this energy kind of light body work, you become more and more conscious of that, and more aware of the fact that we also need to be careful about putting our energies out into other people. You know, because it can affect them too.
Now, that just brought a question to mind because I told Val the story before. I used to work at this in this building, and I worked in this human resources office where, I mean, 2 weeks into being there, it was just I took it personally at the time, and now I understand, but I think I'm understanding. People just, they didn't care to be around me, and it wasn't that I was, you know, being overly ugly or, you know, just, you know, doing anything wrong, but I, in that office, in when you made a mistake on, you know, a record or something, all of the women would go in the back room and cry, and they would beat themselves up for it for a couple of days, but if I made a mistake, I would go, wow, you know, I mean, I was sorry that I made the mistake, but I wasn't going to go in the file room and cry, and I wasn't going to come in the next day and talk about it, because there was nothing I could do about it, it was done. And when you're saying that, you know, other people, our energy feels, you know, kind of funny for other people, I think I'm getting that because of where I was, that just didn't feel right to them.
Mm.
It felt like, you know, I felt like I was the foreigner in the office because they all did the same, you know, I think they kind of fed off of each other's energy. And I wasn't going to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think I'm getting that now because for a while, you know, I was like, why did this happen? And, you know, I don't understand. I didn't say anything to anybody. I didn't do anything to anybody. But I guess just being, you know, who I was kind of, it just felt funny to them also.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we could go into a whole other discussion around that, couldn't we?
Well,
about energy and culture, and we're you know, yeah.
Yeah, another this call could go in a million different ways. As we, I'm really good at that. Thanks for sharing that, Angela. You know, Michelle, share with us a little bit about what you find, you know, like when you believe people are kind of ready for it. What are some of the aspects that they can think about? Because if it's a new technique, and I know that our spirit kind of guides us, I mean, but, you know, when people are just brand new introduced to stuff, what do you find people that come to you, you know, have a sense that they're ready for it?
Actually, one of the things that I look for is, are you coming and asking for one? So, I mean, I don't think anybody's going to actually, ask for one unless you might be asking for one when you're not quite ready. Because I have to say that I have had somebody come to me, you know, I had written about it and she said, you know, I think I'd like to have this. And, you know, when I checked in energetically with her, I thought, okay, she's almost ready for one. I can certainly go in and kind of look individually, but I also feel like there's probably a resonance thing that happens for people. Because for the most part, anybody who's come to me and said, you know what, I think I want a KMR, I'll go, yep, you're ready. I haven't turned too many people away from them if they feel like they're ready for them. On the other hand, I certainly am not going to not check in. So I will check in to be sure that that's true, that you are indeed ready for it, because I wouldn't want to actually put you through the process if you're not ready for it.
Yes.
I was getting ready to ask that, if what you do when somebody's not ready, or, you know, you feel like somebody's not quite ready for that, if you turn them away.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd be out of integrity if I didn't.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's one of the things I love about, you know, working with some of the things, techniques that you have, Michelle, is that you are, I've known Michelle for quite a while, and I can say that I love the word integrity. It's connected to wholeness, and that's a big, big word for me about being whole. Mm-hmm. And so I love that she has a lot of integrity. It is really not just about coming to her and working with her on any of the things that she touches. She has personal integrity not only in her life, but also for this work, because she as a homeopathy practitioner, for numerous years, as she does a couple other modalities, it's sacred work to her.
It is, yeah.
So, you know, she's not going to just do this without checking in and getting, an intuitive opening. And she's worked with this. She's practiced this. She's studied it. So she has the ability to discern whether you're ready for it or not. And I can vouch for that, just watching her and observing her, and also knowing, you know, the benefits from her having or holding that integrity. So I love it. Meanwhile, before I forget, I want to share some of her information of where you can speak to her after this show. She has a website. It's called beyondwell.com, and you can go to it at http. BYONDWELL.com. She has a newsletter that she put out. If any of you all want that newsletter, I can resend that, or I'm sure she'd be able to find it about this particular procedure. But her email is Michelle with one L, MICHELE, at beyondwell www.kmr.com, and her phone number is 1-651-641-1844. So if you want to find out more information about the KMR and or about some of her other things as a homeopathy practitioner, and she also does another beautiful technique about reconnection therapy that we will have her speak about another time, for sure, that's her information that you can connect with her with. I did want to make sure I put that out before the end of our show.
Well, I appreciate it. Yeah, and so don't hesitate.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Michelle.
I was just going to say, don't hesitate. If you just even have a question about it, to either email me or give me a call, I'd be happy to, you know, assist you in any way that I can, even if it's just to answer a question or two about it.
I just wanted to say hello. We have some listeners that are in the chat. Corey Five, Glenn Peter Perez. We have a guest, and then we have Queen of Pearls. Welcome, guys. Glad that you can be with us today. Thank you for participating in the chat.
Yes, thanks for being here with us, Angela and I. And Michelle, appreciate you so very much. And please, if you have any questions about this work, please
put them in the
say
chat.
It in the chat room as well. We'll be happy to convey that to Michelle. So as we move along.
I have a question about also. I was reading somewhere that, and I don't know if that has the same thing to do with KMR. I was reading up on Lightbody, and there was something I read that said that separation from the etherical body, from the physical body, will cause immediate death of its dense counterpart. Does that have anything to do with KMR, and what does that mean?
So say it again. I'm maybe not understanding what you're saying. Physical
okay.
death will be caused from the separation from the etheric body from the physical body. Is that
mm-hmm.
what you're saying?
Yeah, it says that immediate death will happen if there's separation from the etherical body from the physical body. And I didn't understand what that meant also, and I was wondering if you knew what that was or what they were talking about.
Yeah, it's a great question. I don't know. Let me see if I can. I mean, our etheric body is that aspect of us, that the energetic body that extends beyond our physical body. Now, I'm imagining then there saying that the etheric body also has something to do with the soul and the soul essence. And I think, I mean, if our energy is removed from, whether it's the soul essence, the etheric body, if it's removed from the physical body, yes, that is death. Because, I mean, what animates us is that soul, that spirit, that energy. So in that way, I suppose that's true.
I was sitting there sharing this with Angela too. I have a sense, Michelle, that it's when we cross over, that
uh-huh.
when we release our physical matter, the density, uh-huh. because the part of that book, part of the when she was doing some research about the light body,
yeah.
they just said that it was the fourth state of matter or physical matter, their electrical ether. And it said it was a medium through which electricity kind of flows. So I guess it's the medium for all our energy.
Mm-hmm.
But they talked about it's the dense counterpart is the immediate death.
Okay.
So I,
great.
yeah, I kind of had a
body.
Sense that it
yeah.
was just
okay.
when we crossed over that the density
yeah.
of our physical body is just kind of.
Right. It's left.
You know,
because
it releases that.
Right. And we go back into oneness. I mean,
right.
our soul, our essence, our energy goes back into the oneness.
Now, this is an out there question. You know, me and I out there questions. I'm going to throw it in there to stir the mix. I'm getting a sense, and I've not fully downloaded this, but as we're doing some of this light body work, are we not changing also the density, the DNA of our physical body? Is
oh,
there a potentiality that our mm-hmm. physical body is literally changing, and
absolutely.
Maybe it's not even going to be about crossing over and we lose it, but maybe it's changing into a lighter format or a lighter form?
Yeah,
what do you think about that?
Yeah, I agree. I think that really that's what the point is. The point is that we are bringing more and more light into our body so that we are becoming more and more like light, or becoming more light in a physical manifestation. It's like it's sort of bringing heaven on earth kind of thing. I mean, what we're doing with this work really is bringing heaven on earth. Now, earth is also ascending to heaven. So there is this point at which we meet. But I do think that there is this aspect of we are losing density. All of this work is about us losing density. You know, that we are more light, where there's more flow, there's more movement, basically. Yeah, absolutely.
Now, somebody had a question on the chat. Glenn asked if ascension also included with what we're talking about in the process. Is that what that means also?
Is the process of ascension, will KMR facilitate the process of ascension? Is that the question?
Yes,
it is one of the tools that actually facilitates the process of ascension. Correct.
Okay. Can somebody go through this, like, can KMR be done on, you know, can they do that on themselves, or can they even be going through that process without even knowing that they're doing it? Is that possible?
You know, I think there's a lot of things that are happening in our light bodies that can, like, for instance, you know, one of the things that light bodies have done in the past, or light workers, sorry, that have done in the past have been removing plates and crystals in the body. And again, it's to sort of remove density, allow for that ascension process. But we are all going through that process anyway, without doing any work. So I'm not saying that you have to do any work at all. You can just sort of go with the flow and go with the process. It's all happening anyway. We are going lighter. We're moving into light anyway. And as we move into light, you know, light workers have found that, you know, the plates and the crystals that used to be in the body are not there anymore. So where they used to be in that fourth dimensional reality, they are not there. What we are finding, though, is that as the bodies are ascending, that there are different plates and crystals that are showing up, or they might look a little bit different, or it's just sort of the next level of, you know, there's always accoutrement in the body, so you know, you can have that facilitated, and then sort of, you know, maybe bring that process forward a little bit more quickly, you know, that ascension process forward a little bit more quickly, but you don't have to do anything if you don't want to.
That's true. It's all an option. Hey, you know, okay, so we mentioned this a part of it, and me being such a layman, I want to reiterate that the plates and crystals that Michelle is sharing, and Michelle, you can kind of help me with this. These
sure.
are plates and crystals that we actually put in our coded body when we decided to come here and forget kind of who we are, the aspect of our God essence. They were encoded in our body so that mm-hmm. it would help us with the game of forgetting who we are. And as we start the ascension, either our spiritual, the spiritual sense of us helps remove it, or mm-hmm. people that are drawn to this kind of work, like Michelle has been, are helping, are becoming technicians that can help the process as well, as you begin to explore this information. But that these plates, these crystals, some of this karmic stuff was actually just encoded in our bodies as a way for us to forget how, you know, our essence. Basically,
correct.
And what we're connected
yep.
to. Okay.
To limit us.
I wanted to reiterate
exactly.
that.
Thank you.
Okay, good.
Thank you. Yeah, that's perfect.
Because I was like, what the heck is a crystal? What's
a crystal? Yeah, yeah. No, it's just a limiting a function in the body or factor in the body. You know, our body has just lots of them. Lots of obstacle courses in our, you know, so.
It's
and boy, oh boy, it can be like going down the rabbit hole. And what was the thing that I love, Angela? The movie that we talk about, going down the rabbit hole. Well, the Matrix is one of the adult themes.
Oh, Alice in Wonderland?
Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite movies of metaphoric altered states of reality. Because,
mm-hmm.
honey,
exactly
you
what
get,
it feels like.
Yeah, exactly. You go
and really,
a lot
you do
of
have
that.
To hold on. You do have to, which has me thinking because I talk to my sister a lot and she doesn't know anything about what we're talking about, but she calls me a lot when she starts to feel really funny when things are changing and shifting in her life. And I'm telling you, she is really always all over the place. And I'm glad she calls me so that she can kind of settle down. Is the only thing way that I can think of how to put it. But it does feel really. I guess it feels more that way for people who don't understand this than it does, for us who do understand it. But she really does have a really hard time with it, and she always calls me, thank goodness, so that she can, kind of get back to her.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, it's, one of the things that my mom actually calls me fairly frequently. She goes, will you do that thing that you do?
The wizard. I love it. I have three amazing children. I mean, I love them, and I'm like, okay, you're here for your journey. As long as you don't go out in the street and get hit by a car, I'll do my best to not block you from it. And my son really is, I love him, but, he's just not in alignment or agreement with everything I do. And I say, okay. And he loves calling me, and so we kind of work with where he's at, because he gets to choose. And that's the same thing around all of us. We get to choose. We have the options. Yeah. Part of our show that Angela and I and even Michelle in this process and invite people get to speak like we have with Michelle is that we want people to feel empowered and to be in the driver's seat of their lives. And we're just introducing different techniques and modalities that we've connected to or that we're aware of that has benefited and helped people become more wholer, more empowered, and more in charge of their life, because it's happening. We see things changing dramatically. It seems like right now, but they've actually just almost speeded up. I feel like we're bending time, and that will be another great discussion.
Yeah.
But it feels like time is bending, and so what may have taken 20
time
years to
bending,
work with.
Time is bending, actually. Yeah, it is.
It is.
I mean, it is functionally, as we're moving into the fifth dimension, time actually folds in on itself. So it's not actually just a perception of time going faster. It is going faster.
It is going faster.
It is looping. I mean, because the Earth is moving it up into that fifth dimensional reality right now. Bit by bit. It's still in polarity. We're still in polarity, and that's okay. But
well, yeah. And let me ask you something, Michelle. Do you believe in our lifetime that as we ascend, as our planet ascends back to its essence, do you really believe, one of our guests wanted to ask us, do you believe that our bodies can become immortal? Will we see it in our lifetime? Do you believe we may see it in our lifetime or maybe some of the future human generation? What are your thoughts on that?
Will our physical bodies live forever? That's
yes.
a
will
great
we?
Question. I really have no idea. I have no idea. I don't suspect I'm going to live forever. I think I'm going to be really, really old when I die, but I really have no idea. That's going to look like or if we're actually going in that direction or what that's going to look like.
Well, I know people.
I mean, I know
there. Go ahead.
Yeah, I know there are people who really. I don't know if it's a desire. I suspect it is a desire. I mean, we have this sort of thing about being immortal, and somehow in our heads we have the thought that being immortal means bringing our physical bodies with us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I don't know that that's necessarily true. You know, I mean, we can be immortal. We are immortal.
Are immortal.
I mean, the fact is we are immortal. And it's just that it's hard to let go. It's another way for us to sort of let go of something. And it's letting go of the physical body so that we can be.
I like to think of it as this. You know, when you have an old car, you know, you have your car, you buy it new. You drive in it for a while, you get a whole lot of miles on it, you know, it has wear and tear, and then eventually you got to, you know, you got to get another one. That's how I see my physical body, because you as a person can go and get another car, and you can still go. You don't have to just be able to go in that one particular car. There's, you know, many cars out there that you can drive and that you can, you know, have transportation and use to get from point A to point B, and that's how I see my physical body.
Mm-hmm.
Not that anything has happened.
I'm going to bite the big one.
The big one.
I'm going to put myself out there and like the big. Now, personally, based on all the things that I've read and somewhere and sometime, people live 900 years and stuff. And, I mean, they couldn't have been, like, old at 900. I mean, at, like, 100 years old or 300. The possibility of that reality does intrigue me. If
mm-hmm.
if we went into kind of more space age technology or more technology where we could actually reverse time on our bodies,
mm-hmm.
I might be up for that. You know, I'm going to grow mature here. I might be up for that. I mean, you know, just imagine. I know we are multidimensional beings now. I don't.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of like a. Baby step in the multi-dimensions, because I think in my sleep time, I feel like I'm definitely multi-dimensional. I feel like sometimes I wake up in the middle of those. I have little glimpses of multi-dimensional realities here, but I know people that are actually, they can, you know, like really work and they see dimensional doors and stuff. There are people like Stuart Weil that actually works with multi-dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a practice when you start becoming aware of it. I'm just a little impatient, I guess, these days that I'm not, you know, allowing my body to relax to that state. I want to, and I'm spending more time, you know, going in that direction. But just imagine if there's a possibility that we could get to a place where our bodies are as, I mean, there's divine intelligence in every single one of our cells, and they
Absolutely.
Do renew all the time.
And I think in some ways, so we could, this could be a totally practical conversation too about how are we feeding our bodies? What are the obstacles we're actually, you know, putting into our bodies that are obstacles to us ascending, our physical bodies ascending? You know, I mean, that could be a whole other, you know, practical nutritional, like, okay, I mean, really, the nutrition is pretty dead on this planet right now,
yeah.
for the most part, unless you're being very conscious of what it is that you're putting in your body on a day-to-day basis. And
That's
it does
true.
Make a difference. It does make a difference. So,
you know what? I agree with you. I 100% agree that it all is about honoring the body and
mm-hmm.
how that feels, and that could go a long way, because we know that people in different parts of the world are actually living longer and healthier on because they are not as exposed to some of the things that we have industrial-wise in our country.
Mm-hmm.
So
all the toxins.
You know, maybe if this, you know, it's all part of it. As our planet ascends, as some of the newer technologies come in to where it's not as toxic, there are possibilities. But I think it's all going to be it's going to be that community and human race support of that
mm-hmm.
to, you know, to have it change, I believe.
Right, yeah.
Something good to think about. It makes me feel good to think about it anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, so.
Well, I think you mentioned feeding your body, feeding our bodies earlier. I like to think also, not just when I'm putting, you know, foods in my body, I also like to think of in terms of if I'm going to feed my body, that means that, you know, the atmosphere that I want to be around or the kind of things that I want to and I hate to say people, but the kind of, you know, energy that I also want to be around too, because I want to be careful about feeding my body that way also.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And not getting caught up, you know, in the drama of things and, you know, just being, you know, making, having to put myself in a situation where I know something doesn't work and to keep doing it anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, and even going out in nature and, you know, getting the light of the sun
mm-hmm.
into our bodies, you know, is all beneficial as well.
Well, this was, my eyes are more open. You know, it's one thing reading about something, and it's another thing discussing it. So this has helped me to understand this tremendously.
Well, good. I'm glad.
I get it. We have another guest that's on. Welcome, guest. Again, thank you for coming and listening.
Yeah, guest 1179 and 1091. Yes, thanks for showing up. Angela and I appreciate you. I being
really
Valerie. Because there's two of us tweaking vibrations in our chat room, so. One is Angela and one is myself, Valerie.
So, anyway, Michelle, I know we're running out of time. Thank you for letting us interview you again.
You're very welcome. I really appreciate being here, and it's been fun being with you guys.
Thank you.
Well, we appreciate all the support and the participation from our guests. And
yes.
Mm-hmm. Once again, you can find to reach Michelle to ask her any questions about the KMR, which is Karmic Matrix Removal Technique. It's part of the light body work that she is currently working with as one of the modalities. She's a homeopathic practitioner, and she also works with reconnective therapy. You can find her at beyondwell.com, and her email is Michelle with one L, M-I-C-H-E-L-E, at beyondwell.com, as well as her phone number that I gave out in the chat room, and I will also give this out right now. It's 1-651-641-1844. And, you know, call her, leave a message, ask her any questions. She's available. I so appreciate, Michelle, that you are expanding in some of this work, because there's so much information about 2012 and light workers and light bodies and ascensions and people waking up. And it's a beautiful thing to have support and assistance in ways that are more open and permission giving than it used to be. I mean, there are people that are gifted with, you know, innate gifts and talents as healers, and they're working with their sixth sense, which they're working with their metaphysical sense. They're, you know, these things are giving us more permission. So I'm excited that we have practitioners and people that are interested in these modalities to share with other people as they're waking up, and they don't have to go through millions of dollars of therapy to help make those adjustments. When their body starts waking up, they have these techniques available as an option to help them. And it does, they do work pretty quickly. I mean, that's
they
the one
do,
thing
yeah.
I love, that results do start showing up, and
yeah.
they're very beneficial. So that gives me a lot of peace of mind as we move forward, you know, in our 21st
yeah.
century.
Well, that's great. I appreciate the plug. And, you know, for someone who's done lots of therapy too, you know, it is sort of an interesting way to look at things. And I think there definitely is a time and a place for, you know, I think therapy is what I call conscious integration work, or has a possibility of being conscious integration work. But, you know, there are times when we just need to clear it out energetically. And, you know, there's definitely a time and place for it. And it's very effective, and it's very beautiful work.
It is, and Michelle's a beautiful soul to work with, so I am going to plug you, because, you know, not that I'm biased because you're a friend of mine, because she just is unattached to what is really special about you is that you're unattached. You really let people be with themselves and in their space, and you also are, you know, like humble in that appreciation for this work. And I think that's the magical combination. There are people out there that are, you know, I love their information, but sometimes even in the spiritual communities and stuff, sometimes we get in our own way. And are we getting in our own way if we get into a place of already know that? Michelle really works on herself, and as she works on herself, continues to work on herself, she's able to stay in that student-teacher mode, and I really, really appreciate that, because I think as people continue to work on themselves, they don't forget that there's always more to learn. So I'm going to share that again.
Well, thank you.
So next week, you know, as we're coming to a close, what is our time frame, dear one? Oh, 16 seconds, okay.
Yeah, we got a few seconds.
You know, thanks for everybody joining us. Next week we're going to have a wonderful couple that started working with magical energy. They have a news electronic magazine they call The Magic Happens. Kat and Wayne will be joining us, and I will be posting that within the next day or so. Same time, same space. Thank you so much. And just, we want you to remember that who you are is the most important and precious thing than anything out in the universe. And we thank you and so much and bless you. Until next time.
Thank you for coming. Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, girl. Talk to you later.
Okay.
Bye.